Hello, this is Scooter. Thanks for joining me at Fish Toes. So we're up to, I don't even know what episode we're on, but it doesn't matter. We're going to talk about lures. And in specific, we're going to talk about plastic baits or rubber baits. Typically in the fishing community, they're referred to as plastics. So we're going to talk about worms, flukes, and some stuff like that. And these are going to be kind of intro baits to get you into lure fishing. So we're not going to cover everything because we could talk for days on that. So I want to give you a few basics here. So we're going to talk about rubber worms first. This is kind of a sort of tried and true on the plastic baits end. You're basically mimicking a worm that's going to move through the water. Now, something slightly different about fishing these versus live worms are obviously they don't move by themselves. They're not alive. So when we rig them up, we're going to rig them a little bit different, and we're also going to fish them different. And the type of fishing we're going to do here and the way we're going to fish them can be used with almost any type of lure and variations of these kinds of ways that we're going to fish them, these different techniques. So when we're talking about these rubber worms also, and most lures and stuff, I'm going to primarily be referring to them in the sense of catching bass. In other words, they're going to be a little bit bigger. We're going to be talking about that kind of stuff. But when you go out there and if you're looking for some stuff, you will see lures that are similar that are just a lot smaller. And they're going to be more designed for panfish, crappie, trout, and so forth. But to try and really get into all these, it would take a really long time. So I'm going to sort of gloss over those ones a little bit here. And we're going to primarily focus in on bass fishing. That's probably one of the best game fish in the United States. Trout, though, a lot of people fish for them, and you've got muskies and walleye and all kinds of stuff. But probably the most sought-after lure fishing is typically done going after bass, whether it's smallmouth or largemouth. In this region, Maryland and into PA, bass, largemouth bass are definitely more prevalent, but you can still find smallmouth in some rivers and cooler water. And the farther north you go, the less you get largemouth bass and the more you get smallmouth bass because they prefer colder temperatures, and bass actually prefer warmer. You get down to like Florida and stuff like that, you get some Florida bass and they get just massive. I'm not sure what the Maryland state record is for largemouth, or actually I'm not even sure what it is in PA, but I do believe it's somewhere around 13 or 14 pounds, so it's pretty darn big. The biggest one I've ever caught was just over 9 pounds, and I thought it was gargantuan, and a lot of people don't catch them that big, but there's been plenty caught a lot bigger than that, but still, you get something like that, it's fantastic. So again, we're going to kind of be talking this in the sense that we're bass fishing here. So it's kind of bigger bait, bigger fish. The bass are really aggressive, so even small bass will go after a bait that's half its body size. So you could be fishing a 5-inch fluke and catch, 8, 9, 10-inch bass. You don't catch them too often as small, but you still can. So, okay, so let's get back to the plastics here. So we're going to start with a worm. Now, when you go into a store and you're looking for worms, and again, we're talking plastics, you're going to see a whole row practically dedicated to these things of all different sizes, shapes, colors, and so forth. So I'm just going to sort of focus in on a few. A great one to use is something that's going to be that the body of the worm might be 3 to 4 inches long, and it's got a little curly tail, or even if it's a flat tail that's kind of, it's something that's going to move around in the water real nicely when you're reeling them in. You'll see some worms that don't really have a tail, and they pretty much just look like a nightcrawler, only in different colors. You can fish these the same way. The tail is going to have a much different reaction. It's not really going to flow through the water a lot. It's going to kind of dart through the water, and the tail will flick around a little bit, but not as much. They can be really good, but I'm going to kind of focus in more on the curly tail, or different brands refer to the tails as a different thing, but we're kind of looking for a worm that's going to have a tail on it so that tail can float around. And again, the solid part of it, like the worm's body before you get to the tail, something in a 3 to 4 inch range. So that thing might be 5 or 6 inches overall when you add the tail onto it. So this is, you're going to be able to target bass for this. And, you know, usually, again, if I'm looking for somewhere and I'm fishing and I want to be catching 12 to 15 inch bass, I'm going to use probably a 5 or 6 inch plastic, at least in worms, because it's a good size. They're going to go after it. It's easier to hook them. If some little fish come up and bump it, you're probably not going to hook them and stuff. So you don't worry as much about those. So color wise, if you're going to stock a few things into your tackle box, get something pretty bright, a white, a pink, a yellow, that's pretty bright, for days when the water's a little bit muddier, and visibility is low, they can work really good. Now I've done well with them in clear water too, at least the whites and the pinks. The yellow's not as much, but, you know, different, you know, I think every place fish is a little different, so I don't want to tell you that's gospel or anything. You want to get a light color. You're going to want to get something medium, like a pumpkin seed, a watermelon seed, something in a green, a red, like kind of a burnt orange kind of color. Something like that can be really good. I've never done really well with blues in worms, but there's definitely fish that seem to like blues pretty well. I just haven't met up with those ones as much yet. And then you're also going to want to get a couple of dark ones, whether they're black, like a motor oil, which is like a really, really dark brown to black. Something like that works good. These also work well when the water is cloudy, because it's just a dark silhouette then in that, you know, if you get something that's green and the water's kind of muddy, it kind of blends in a little bit. So you can fish the real darks and stuff like that, or the real brights when the water's a little bit more muddy. There's some other things that factor in there. I'm just kind of giving you real generalization to this and things to look out for. So, you know, pick yourself up one pack of each. They're not too expensive. If you can't pick up multiples, think of the water you're going to fish in, and then pick up, you know, maybe one pack of lights and one pack of mediums. If the water is typically clear, pick up that pack of mediums just by itself. You know, a pumpkin seed or something like that works pretty well. So now once you have these, you need a hook to put them on. You're not going to put these on bait holder hooks. I'm not saying you can't. It's just not the typical way to fish them, and it can be a little bit more difficult. So a type of hook that's designed for these worms is called a worm hook, and not a bait holder, but a worm hook, and they're going to be bigger. Now, remember how I told you that the bigger the number, the smaller the hook. So a size 2 hook is one of the biggest ones, and then, you know, you get to 4, 6, 8, and so forth, and down 10, 12, your real tiny hooks. When you get into lures, this still holds true for up to a certain size, but then you get what's called like a 1-0 or a 2-0 hook. So it's going to be like a 1/0 or a 2/0 or a 4/0. So it's kind of like the smaller, the bigger the number, until you get up to 0. So the 2 being, or a 1 being the biggest, and then 0. Once you keep going on the other side of 0, so now we're at a 1-0, a 2-0, a 3-0, and so on, they keep getting bigger. So the bigger the number, and so you're going to see it's going to say like 4/0. That's a 4-0 hook. That's going to be one of the bigger hooks out there. For worms, I'm typically sticking around a 2-0 or a 4-0 hook. And you're looking for an offset worm hook. So what this is going to look like is you're going to have an eye where you tie your line on, and the shank of the hook is going to come down, but only maybe a quarter of an inch, and then it's going to shoot off to the side. That's the offset, and then the shank is going to continue to drop down to the bottom belly of the hook, and then the hook comes back up with the barb on it. There's other types you can use for this. You'll see ones, they're called worm hooks, and they'll have, instead of an offset, they'll have a barb, sort of like your bait holder hooks do, but they're usually a little bit bigger, and it's going to be up near the eye. And so they fish pretty much the same way. There are some differences. I feel like the offset hooks actually set in, you know, when you go to hook the fish, I always felt like they seem like they hook a little easier and a little better. So I'm going to start with the offsets, but you know, if you want to try the straight shank with the little barb on them for a worm holder hook, give them a shot. They're certainly not bad. I just prefer the offsets myself. So what you're going to do then is you're going to take the worm you got, and you're going to take the point of the hook right down into the nose, right in the very front end of the worm, push it down through about a quarter of an inch, and then turn it and bring it out right out the side of the worm. Now when I say side, you want to bring it out of the top of the worm. Some worms don't have tops. They're just round, you know, kind of cylinders. Some sort of have flat bellies, or they might even have a little slit along the belly. And we'll get into that, what that kind of is for here in a moment. But if they have that flat side or the little slit in the belly, that's going to be the belly side of the worm. And we want to come out the top side, the opposite side of that belly. So you bring the hook out on that side. And then you take the worm and you just slide it the whole way up. So just the hook's only through about a quarter inch up near the head of that worm. You slide it the whole way up and over that offset. Now, if you do that, when you would take your rod and hold it up in the air, and this worm is tied on there and the hook's hanging straight down, the worm should be hanging straight down right alongside the hook, except for where the hook goes through the head of it, then it's inside of it. And so now you've got a worm on there. We're not done yet. We got to do one more step. So then what you want to do is look at that. Make sure your hook's hanging straight and the worm's hanging straight down. Take a look at that where the belly, the very bottom belly of the hook is, and pinch your fingers on the worm lined up right where that spot is. Then take the end of the hook where the point is and stick it through the worm right where your fingers are. Don't stick it into your fingers, just beside your fingers or in between them, kind of. But again, you want to go back down through the top of the worm so you're on the same side that the hook came out of up at the offset, straight through the worm, and then, you know, just curl it around a little bit. And then if you just let the worm hang there, it should be hanging exactly straight down, and the hook is also hanging straight down, but now it's through the middle of the worm, or roughly the middle of the worm. It might be up a little bit or back a little bit from right in the center of the worm, but it's right there. And the hook should sort of lay along the belly side. And so if it has a slit in that belly, or if it's a flat bottom, if that hook lays right up nicely against that belly, or right in that slit there in the bottom, that little channel, it's kind of weedless. So when you're casting out and reeling in, that hook is sort of hidden. But when a fish bites it, it's going to kind of compress the worm, and the hook is, you know, the hook point can now get into the fish. But when you reel in and you come up over some branches or aquatic vegetation, the hook's not going to catch that stuff. And so it's a weedless rig that way. Now, if you got a worm that's round and it doesn't have a flat belly or the channel in the bottom, you can still just sort of poke the tip of that hook back into the belly right where it sits. And that gives you a sort of a weedless thing. They tend to kind of pop off there a good bit, but it's not a bad idea to learn how to do that. And then just every time you reel in, just take a quick look at it and see if it's staying in there, especially if you're fishing in somewhere that's got a lot of weeds and stuff going on. So now we've got our worm, we've got our hook, we've got our worm on our hook, and you can fish. Now, if we're talking lure fishing here, so bobbers are out of the game now. We're not using bobbers anymore. There are some instances where you can, but we're not getting into that stuff just yet. Bobbers are out of the game. Now, you could fish this just like you would have a real worm, where you've got your split shots that are on up the line a little bit. And that gives you a little bit of extra weight to cast. Now, one of my favorite ways to fish these is no weight. It's just the worm on the hook. And I usually don't use the snap swivels when I'm fishing this way. I tie the hook directly onto the line. Now, you can. I'm not telling you not to, but, fish can see those snap swivels. Though, again, usually when you're lure fishing and you're moving a lot, they don't get a lot of time to process what they're seeing. They see something moving and they attack it. Or at least that's the kind of the theory that you're going for. So sometimes if you see a snap swivel or something on there, it's not a big deal. I kind of like to be a little more of a purist, I guess you might say, but I tie the hook directly on. Those snap swivels also can spin. And so when you're reeling in, your bait may be twirling more than you want it to instead of just sort of gliding straight through the water. So keep that in mind. But fishing without any weight on there, just the weight of the lure, is considered like finesse fishing. You can feel a lot more of what's going on with the bait. It's just everything's a little more accurate because you're taking any differentials in the line out. It's just you, the line, and the hook, and whatever's on it. So you don't have as much stuff to contend with, extra knots to break and so forth, things like that. But you're really more in connection with that bait, from the rod. So I love fishing this way. However, worms and stuff, they do make different types, type that float, type that sink, and then the regular types, which sink, but just kind of slowly. You can try whatever you like. The floating ones are still going to sink a little bit, but they'll usually just hang out just under the surface of the water. So if you're seeing a lot of bass up high, I would I wouldn't worry too much about floating or sinking worms at this point. Just kind of get the standard ones. That's what's going to be most common anyways. And, you know, you can cast them out. And so if you're finesse fishing, you're going to cast out. Now, if you're having trouble casting yet, it's probably a good idea to put some weight on there. We're going to talk about another type of rig. Well, two more types of rigs you can use with weights on them if you want to add some weight to this aside from just putting a few split shots on the line. So what you're going to do is you're going to cast this out, and when it lands, it's going to, you know, it's usually not going to make a real big noise or anything like that, but it's just going to slowly start to sink. This sink time is actually a pretty impressive time to catch fish. A lot of times it hits the water, so they see something, they go over there, then they see this thing moving down through the water, and if it's got a curly tail or a tail that can flip around a little bit, as it sinks, that tail's wagging. And so they'll come in after that a lot of times. So be prepared when you're fishing this way to get some strikes as soon as that thing hits the water, or if you're just letting it drop for 30 seconds so you can get down so far, you know, can be a really good strike time for fish. So, you know, let it sink a little bit. Now, if you want to fish it right under the surface of the water, when it hits, just give it a second and start reeling in. Now, we haven't talked about lure fishing as far as the actual action of lure fishing, so we're going to take a second to talk about this. So whatever type of lure you're fishing, there's multiple ways. You can do what's just basically called a straight retrieve. So you're just going to reel in. Not super fast, but you can adjust the speed. If you're not getting bites, try speeding up. If you're not getting bites, try slowing down. You can vary the speed by how fast you reel the line in. So that's just like a straight retrieve. And plastics, it doesn't usually work as well. Usually you're going to do this something with like a spinner bait or other different types of like hard lures and stuff, but sometimes it will work well with plastic baits, especially something with the tail that's going to flick around a lot, because that thing's just going to be moving around as you reel in. Now, typically on this, that can be a really productive way, but what I want you to do when you're doing that is you could try a few like that to get used to casting that weight and that type of lure, and then reel in just kind of nice and slow, medium pace. You know, you're not cranking life for all you're worth or anything like that, and you're also, you know, not just moving so slow that you feel like you're a sloth. You know, just reel it in at a nice medium pace, and then every once in a while, so if you get the hang of that, then every once in a while, just flick the end of your rod. So if your rod is kind of out in front of you, aimed towards your bait, it doesn't need to be, at this point, it doesn't need to be aimed directly at it, but you still want it sort of aimed out over the water. And so if it's off to your right a little bit, just twitch your rod to the right so the rod tip moves maybe a foot. Okay, and that's what I'm going to refer to as flicking or twitching the end of your rod. Just give it a quick flick and maybe, you know, reel in a little more, and then give it two quick flicks and then reel in a little more. And just, you can even continually keep reeling at a medium pace and just keep flicking the end of the rod. And this gives that some nice action out there where it sort of darts to one side and then it hesitates for a second, and then it darts to another side, hesitates for a second. And these are things that kind of mimic a dying fish or something in the water that's wounded that a predator is going to go after, and that's kind of what we're looking for. So that can be a really great way to do it. Now, you can also flick your rod up. Now, this will be an important technique. It's no different than when you're at the side, but if you flick up, when you do that, it's going to make it kind of pull up towards the surface of the water a little bit more. Where this is important is if you're fishing the bottom, if you keep flicking to the side and it's dragging across the bottom, it might drag in between some rocks or into some sticks or into some weed, whereas if you flick it up, it's got a chance to bounce over those things instead of, you know, so the bait, instead of just kind of shooting forward, it's going to actually shoot up and forward when you flick up. So again, I'll refer to this as like an up flick or, you know, twitching upward, anything like that. Now, you can also do a longer pull. Okay, so if you've got the rod, let's say it's aimed straight in front of you and you're reeling in slow, if you can picture this, if you move your rod relatively quickly, you're not like a super quick twitch, but you want a pretty quick pull off to one side. But let's say you go from noon to 3 o'clock, you've just moved that rod tip, you know, 6 or 7 feet. And so it's really going to pull that forward. But then if you just continue to reel and then swing your rod slowly back to the front, the bait has actually stopped because you pulled to the side. And as you're reeling in and you're swinging the rod back to the front, you're just reeling in the slack that's being created as the rod is moving forward. so the bait stopped, which means it's going to drop a little bit. And again, those drops can be really, really productive. So, you know, you can do just a constant reel, slow reel, and swing to the side, and then slowly back forward. Swing to the side, slowly back forward, the whole time reeling slowly. And this gives you a nice balance out there. I use a technique that's like this whenever it seems like fishing slow, because it kind of, it moves along slowly, but it still seems like it's dying, and it's not so much rapid movement. It's just a constant, like, forward a little bit and then down a little bit, and then forward a little bit and down a little bit. And that can be really nice for the fish. Now, you can also get the same sort of effect by reeling in slow and stop. Reel in slow and stop, and let it stop for 10 or 15 seconds. You know, those pauses can be really, really dramatic as far as, you know, getting a fish to bite. You might see fish following your lure the whole way in and they don't bite. But I'll tell you what, in the next cast, throw it out there and let it drop a little bit longer. Let it be still for a little bit longer. And a lot of times that's when those fish will strike. Now, if they're real aggressively feeding and stuff like that, they're going to hit it when it's moving fast, you know, because they don't want to miss the meal. So there are a lot of different techniques. I'm just trying to get you through a couple of them and simple ways to try them. So now that we've talked about the worms and how to fish them and some colors and stuff, again, you're kind of primarily going for bass. I want to throw a few more of these out there. So one is going to be one of my all-time favorites, which is a fluke. Now, a fluke pretty much looks like a minnow or a very small fish. I have a tendency, I love white and pink flukes. They just seem like they do really well for me. They are certainly not the be-all, end-all by any means. I just like the way they fish, and I've always done pretty well with them. So they look like a fish. I usually get 5-inch, sometimes some 4-inch long flukes. And again, they're going to look like a fish. They're going to have a pretty good channel typically in the belly. So you're going to hook these up the same way, but you don't want a worm hook. You want an offset bait hook, actually, I'm drawing a complete blank on what they're called, but I'll come back to that. But they're going to look basically just like the offset worm hook. The difference is, instead of the hook coming straight down, the shank coming straight down after the offset, they're going to belly out to the side and then loop around. They're going to get more circular shaped rather than J-shaped. Okay? So these are designed more for flukes and stuff because of the way the bait is shaped, and then the way you can actually hook a fish. They work a little bit better for this type of bait. You could use a worm hook if you needed to, but you'll notice that the flukes kind of have a rounded back, so when the hook's in there, it can set off a little bit. And again, I use 2-0s and 4-0s are the mostly what I have in my tackle box, and that's going to work. I use a 4-0 for a 5-inch, and I use a 2-0 for a 4-inch. You know, and you can get them smaller and stuff too for different types of fish. You're going to basically hook this up just like you did the worm. You're going to put the point down right through the fish's nose, about a quarter of an inch, pull it out through the back. This is important that these ones are on the back. And then you're going to take the hook, sort of hang it down just like you did the worm, mark kind of where the bottom of the hook is, the bottom of the arc of the hook is, and then put the point through right where that is, coming out through the belly. And then, you know, it's on there, and you'll notice that the hook, the point of the hook, is up in that little channel in the belly of the fish, making it weedless. Now, most of the flukes I fish, they tend to float pretty well. They will sink if you let them sink, but it's very slowly. So as you're fishing those in, they usually stay just about a foot under the water. So you can usually see them while you're fishing it, which is pretty exciting, especially if you see some big fish come over and smack it. That's a lot of fun. So these guys, you can straight retrieve them, though I don't recommend it. They usually don't have much of a tail on them. They'll have like a regular fish looking tail or just kind of a nub back there, and it will move around. The best way I found to fish these is you take the end of your rod and it's flick, flick, two quick flicks. And if you cast it out just a little bit in front of you where you can see it, you give it two quick flicks and stop. And that fish will dart left, dart right, and then start to die. And then you're reeling your slack a little bit, and as it starts to move towards you, flick, flick, wait a second, and then reel again. So you're making this thing dart left, dart right, or whichever, it'll dart whatever direction it wants, but it'll dart, and then start to die and drift a little bit. So this looks like a fish that's kind of on its last legs, and it's trying to get away from something, or it's moving through the water, but it's still kind of not making, it's dying. And I've always just had really good results with this style. I've used different colors, pumpkin seeds and so forth, but for whatever reason, the bright colors, especially in the warmer water, as opposed to, you know, stained or muddied water, which is what I would usually pick the color of the bait on, it seems like the warmer the water, the better the bright colors work for some odd reason. I don't know any reason for that other than, you know, maybe that's just the way my luck works or something. But again, there it is. So these flukes are really fun to fish because they're really active. You can watch them most of the time, which I think is pretty fun, especially if you can see, you know, a big fish come up and hit it. You know, so that's just a lot of fun. You're going to see a lot of other stuff like creature baits, which are like, they're going to look like lizards, or you'll see them called brush hogs, which are, they're kind of like a tube with sort of little weird arms on them and then a bunch of stuff hanging off the back end of them. All this stuff can be really productive. They're going to usually, those are usually going to be pretty big. You're going to almost rig them up just like you would the worm. So again, like a size 2-aught or a 4-aught hook, and what you're really looking for in that hook is that it's somewhere around the middle of the body of whatever you're fishing. Because if something comes in and it just hits the back end, you know, you'll miss that even with these hooks. But you know, sometimes the fish will only grab 2/3 and not quite the whole bait in one hit. But if your hook point is back near the middle of that bait, it just increases the chances that you're going to be able to hook up with that fish and catch it. So the other thing is, when you're fishing for bass and you're using baits like this, you are going to think you're pulling too hard when you go to set the hook, and I promise you, you're pretty much not. Okay, you've got to set the hook like you mean it. Okay, you don't need to move it, you know, from in front of you to behind you. You know, and you'll catch yourself doing this. I can't promise you that you will, but most likely you will. I couldn't tell you how many times I've watched somebody go to set a hook, and they set the hook and they start backing up. You know, they're backing away from the water. Like, I gotta drag this fish in. That's what the fishing pole's for. You don't need to do that. And hopefully, if you do it sometime, you're gonna think of this and you're gonna chuckle and say that I've done it a million times myself. And you know, so it's kind of comical, but you don't need to back up. But what you want to do is move that rod tip quickly and with force, you know, and going from in front of you at 12 o'clock over to 3 quickly and with force is going to help you set that hook. Now, when I tell you this, that's true in almost all occasions, except if your line is really close to you, like, you know, you're reeling back into a boat, or you're reeling into the shore, the bait's 6 feet in front of you, okay? You don't need to pull it that far because you have no stretch. There's not much line left. That line is not going to stretch as much when you pull it. Now, your rod tip's going to bend, so that's going to help absorb that. But when your line is way out, you want to set the hook even harder because you've got a lot of stretch in the line. And by the time that stretch happens, you want to make sure there's still enough force where that hook is to hook the fish in the mouth. Now, again, we're talking about bass here. If you're going for trout or panfish or something like that, you don't need nearly the level of hook set you do for bass. So just kind of food for thought there. That kind of covers a reasonable amount of rubber baits that you can start with. I'd mainly start with flukes, and I'd start with worms. The creature baits can be fun and productive, but until you sort of get the hang of it, they're not a necessity at this point. The only other one that I do like to fish is called a tube bait. Now, what a tube bait is, it's a tube. I know, it's crazy, right? So this tube is basically rounded or sealed at one end. And then on the back end of it, it's got a whole bunch of little fingers or legs hanging down there. And it sort of looks a bit like a squid. Okay? So with these guys, you're going to get a different type of hook. Now, you can rig them up differently, but this is kind of the way I've always done it. There's two ways that you're going to look at. One is a jig head. Now, they make jig heads specifically for tubes that go inside the tube. So you're going to slide this. And what a jig head is, it's basically a sinker with a hook coming out of it. And you're going to want a pretty good size here. Again, you're going to want like a size 2 or a 1. maybe even a one-aught. I don't usually get that big in a jig head, but you'll see some of them that the sinker is oval rather than round, and those ones tend to work a little bit better because they're easier to kind of slide up into the tube, and it also, the hook's usually longer because you want that hook just coming out of the back of the tube right where all the fingers start hanging off of it. And on the front of that sinker, on one, or that jig head, on one side is going to be an eye, and that eye is usually going to have a little short stem to it before it actually goes into the sinker. So if you slide it up inside the tube, and then you just push the tube where that eye is until the eye pops through the head of the tube, kind of on one side. Now you can take your snap swivel and stick it on there, or again, when I'm lure fishing, I usually just direct tie. So you could tie your line on there. So now you've got a nice weighted rubber bait that's going to go to the bottom. Okay, so this is designed to fish on the bottom, and so what you want to do is you want to cast this out, and you'll learn, you'll like these because you can cast them a mile. Flukes are great for that too. They seem to be aerodynamic and they weigh a lot and they seem to fly forever. But in any event, back to the tubes. So you cast this out and you let it sink. Now you can start jigging it. Again, you can start reeling slowly and kind of just twitching the rod. But mostly I fish these, you drop them to the bottom, and then you aim your rod almost down, but towards the water, and then you can lift that rod way up in the air, almost to pointing straight up in the sky. You don't have to really go that high, but you can. And then reel, okay? So what you're doing is, and then you're going to drop the rod tip back down. And if you can envision this, what you're trying to do is make that little guy jump up off the bottom and then drift towards you forward and go back down and hit the bottom and then pop back up in the air. And so it sort of looks like a heartbeat on the monitors, you see. You know what I mean? It's just up and then down and forward, up and then down and forward. And you can add some little jukes and twists to it. But this guy's going to go down there and he's going to bounce off the bottom, the rocks a little bit, make a disturbance. And, you know, along the edges of weed beds is really good. You can buy these hooks that are weedless. They've got a little extra piece of metal that's kind of like a whisker on there that sticks out over the point of the hook that helps prevent it from keeping caught up in weeds. And, you know, these guys, I've always usually fished something like a pumpkin seed, some type of green, and around vegetation. And again, for whatever reason, bass seem to really like them. You can get all different sizes. Again, you want to pick a hook, though, that's going to match, so that when you slide that jig head up in and you get the point sticking out, you want the bottom arc of the hook to just be lipping kind of around the bottom edge of the tube, right where the fingers start coming out of the tube. And you can fish these different ways. You can fish them faster and keep them up off the bottom a little bit. You can sort of, rather than lifting your rod, you can almost drag them along the bottom a little bit and bounce them and wreck them off of stuff. They're kind of like a neat you know, wrecking ball under there to some extent, and they can raise some havoc under the water if you want them to. You can fish them a little more finesse-like, though usually you're going to want a little weight with these guys. So they can be a lot of fun. And I just started fishing these, getting like micro tubes. They're just real little, with a tiny jig head, for panfish and stuff. And it's been pretty fun. I've been catching a lot that way, so that's been kind of cool. So again, we got our worms, we got our flukes, we got our tube baits, and then we talked a little bit about the creature baits too, but I wouldn't worry too much about them. You're going to see the variety of colors in all these baits. Again, you know, pick a few, and if you want, try the flukes in a light color and the worms in a medium color, or maybe the tubes in a medium green, and then some worms that are black with some red on them or something like that. You know, pick a few colors that work well. It's really hard for me to sit here and say, hey, these colors are always going to work well in these kinds of conditions, because every water I've ever fished, it's always a little bit different. I fish places with the flukes that are white that I love and got nothing. And, you know, I tend to stick to them anyways, because I do enjoy fishing them. But, you know, if I fish for 45 minutes or something in some different spots and I got no bumps, I'm probably switching up. I might try like a black and red shad kind of colored worm, or you know, maybe some tubes if there's some weeds around and I can fish along the edge of the weed beds and stuff. So again, we kind of covered some real basic plastics, some basic techniques. The last thing I want to hit on are two more rigs that you can use to fish pretty much any of these, except maybe the tube. You're not going to really fish the tube with this, because that, again, has its own jig head already in there. They do make jig heads that you put down through the top of them, and you're going to see, so it's a weight like we've talked about, except it's going to have kind of like a thicker cylinder that comes off of that weight with a little barb or a little hook on it. Sometimes it's a little metal hook, so you can slide that down in through the top of the tube bait, and then that hook will catch inside the tube, so the tube just doesn't slide down to the back end of the hook. And that was the other way I did forget to mention that one. So these other two we're going to talk about are a Texas rig and a drop shot. So a Texas rig gets a bullet sinker. Okay, you'll find these where all the other sinkers are, and crazily enough, they look just like bullets. You know, they're a cylinder that's tapered at one end, and they've got a hole down through the middle of them. So what you do here is you take your fishing line, nothing's tied on it, you take your fishing line and feed it down through the nose of the bullet first and out the back end, then you tie on your hook. You're not really going to use this for flukes. You can. I have done it, and it's been relatively productive, but it's not really a common practice. But hey, you know, if it's working, it's working. And, you know, so try different things. It's primarily for stuff like worm and creature baits. So then you're going to have your hook. So now if you think about it, that bullet's going to slide and set right down on the top of the hook, right where the eye is. So if you've got a worm on there or, you know, a creature bait, this thing is now its hat. You know, it's wearing it right on its head. And you can get these bullet weights in all sizes. You can get multi-packs where you've got, you know, some quarter ounce and 3/8 ounce and 1/2 ounce. You probably don't need to go much over 1/2 ounce. They make them really big. I've got some that are 1 ounce. You know, and you'll see that's a lot of weight. If you're using a light rod, it's going to bend that rod. That's probably a little too heavy. You know, if you're just holding the rod out there and it's hanging off the end, your rod's going to be bent. That's how much weight 1 ounce will do to something like that. So you start getting up around 1 ounce, you want to make sure you're at least a 10-pound test, if not 12 or 15-pound test, to fish something like that. So we're going to stick more around the 1/4 ounce, 3/8 ounce, 1/2 ounce bullet weights. You've got that tied on there, well, you've got it through your line through it and then tied onto the hook, and you put your worm on there, and this thing's sitting on there like a head. So now if you cast this out, the worm's going to sink much quicker now because it's got the weight. It's going to go to the bottom. And when you're dragging this through, the point of that bullet lets you sort of glide over the ground a little bit easier without catching up on every little nook and cranny down there. And if you kind of move your rod, if you do the technique where we were talking about moving it slowly out to the side, you know, completely out, and then you back up a little bit, what'll happen is that line will kind of release, and that worm will actually float away from the back side of that bullet a little bit, and then when you reel in, it'll smack up to the back of it and start bouncing along the bottom again. And there's a ton of different ways. I'm just sort of going over the basic ways to fish this, but it's a really fun way to fish them, especially if you want to get a little more weight on there, get down to the bottom quicker, cast out a little bit farther, and so forth. Works really well. The other type, the drop shot, is you're going to get an egg sinker. And just like the bullet sinker, crazily enough, it looks like an egg. It's got a little loop on the top. It'll have a little piece of metal sticking out of the top that's tied into a loop. Or it may even have the loop formed right in the metal at the top of it. And so you're going to tie your line directly on it. Again, you've got nothing tied on the line yet. You're going to tie your line right onto that sinker, that egg sinker. And now 18 inches or so up your line, 12, 18 inches, you're going to pinch your line. And then you're going to fold, that's going to make a little loop between your fingers. And you're going to push that little loop between into the eye of the hook, or the eye of a leader. If you're bait fishing and stuff like that, you can bait fish using this. You're going to push it through that eye on the leader or the eye on the hook, and then you're going to take the hook and put it back through the loop after it went through the eye of the hook and goes through there. And what that's going to do, it's going to fasten the hook now onto that line. Now, if it's a big hole in the eye of the hook or it's a big leader, you may want to tie one more. You can just tie a simple square knot there enough to hold it in place so it's not sliding up and down the line. You want it to stay in place. So now what does this accomplish? Well, when you cast out, that sinker is going to set on the bottom. And when you tighten your line up and snug your line up, your hook is up off the bottom. It's up wherever you tied it up. Now, one thing to keep in mind with this is that if the ground is sloped, dramatically sloped under the water, this is where it's going to work. In other words, you've got a big drop off in front of you. You're fishing from a dock and the water's 10 feet deep below you. This is where you're going to want to use this. Because if you're somewhere along the bank and it's a real gradual slope, well, think about it. If that sinker's on the bottom of the water, you know, down on the bottom, and the line is coming towards you, that line is barely above the bottom. And as you get closer to where your sinker is, it's even closer. Which means if the line is close to the bottom at 18 inches up off the sinker, your hook is still on the bottom too, or really close to it. So it's not really advantageous to use it in somewhere where it's you know you don't have a good angle between your line and the bottom of the water. So, you know, again, it's somewhere where you're fishing where there's a steep drop off, off a dock where, you know, the water below you is, you know, 10 feet deep or more or whatever. So you're not going to use this in all applications, but it can work really well. And on these ones, you can do slow retrieves. You can do the twitching. Anything you do is still going to affect that bait. You just want to give it some movement, let it pause a little here and there, just like we talked about. And that can do really well. It can work well with creature baits. It can work well with flukes. So it's pretty fun to use for that. So again, we got our Texas rig, we got our drop shot. You can use the Texas rig. You're not really going to use with live bait. I'm not saying you can't. Tree country, you can do whatever you want. The drop shot can be really effective. Again, as long as that line's up off the bottom, you can cast out and you're just sitting there waiting for something to take your bait, but now your bait's floating along up off the bottom. It's not just sitting there resting on the bottom, nothing can see it, that kind of stuff. So okay, I think that's been a pretty productive episode. I think we've kind of covered most of the bases of plastic fishing. Again, you're going to see a million things out there. You're going to see all kinds of baits, different things, and you're going to say, hey, Scooter never talked about this. You're right, I didn't, because there's just so much out there. Talk to people. You know, you go into a local sporting goods store and you see somebody else shopping, be like, oh, you know, you fish around here. What do you use? You know, I've never known anybody that didn't like to talk about fishing when they enjoy it and want to tell you how good they can do with something. Hey, I'm making a whole podcast about it. I think you get my point. There's so many different things you can use, so many ways to use them. And a lot of this, you're going to have to do a little research on your own, checking out with local people, or just getting out there. If you've got the time, get out there and put in the hours and try different things and learn. I'm always learning. I try and fish new waters and I try and do new things. So, you know, I'm always trying out stuff and I'll fish a whole day and not catch anything. But then I know in these water conditions, these certain things aren't working. So this is going to carry true through all the rest of the lures we're going to talk about. But again, if you pick the rule lure, the right size hook for that lure in plastics and some basic techniques, you can try all different sorts of things in how you're fishing them. You do pay more attention. It's definitely more active fishing. You're constantly casting, constantly reeling. So lure fishing does take a little more dedication, whether it's what we're talking about in the plastics, and plastics actually fish a little slower than most regular hard baits, but we'll get into that when we do kind of cover the hard baits. So hopefully this was informative for you. Hit me up with some questions, or you know, if you've got some great things you've done and types of rigs and different baits that work really well for you, hit me up, let me know all about it, and we'll get back to you here real soon with another episode, and we're going to cover the hard baits next. So take care, tight lines, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening.